service, she could not get the last line out, and so we just all boo-hooed together in the 9:30 service, and I don't think there was a dry eye in the place, but you did good, Lisa. Thank you so much. Let's take our Bible and go to Titus chapter number 2. And that's where we're going to be. We're going to, if you know 1 Timothy, where we've been on Sunday mornings, just go forward a couple books and you'll find the little book of Titus, chapter number 2. And if you need a handout, our ushers would be glad to bring you one right now, a message handout for this morning. All right, good. All right, I think we got everybody. That is awesome. And I'll tell you, moms are something else, aren't they? There was a survey that was done of mothers. And they found that moms are the most quizzed people on the planet. On average, from breakfast to afternoon, the average stay-at-home mom faces one question every 2 minutes and 36 seconds. That adds up to about 105,120 questions per year that she gets asked. The survey went, I don't know where they get this, but they say that the questions spike during meal times. This was interesting. Girls aged 4 are the most curious, asking an incredible 390 questions per day. Anybody have a 4-year-old girl in here? some of the toughest questions that mom said they had to answer were, why is water wet? Where does the sky end? What are the shadows made of? Why is the sky blue? And how about this one? How do fish breathe underwater? Those are the kind of questions moms have to answer. And so moms, I tell you, they're something else, aren't they? I don't think that there's any biblical standard more viciously attacked today than the God-ordained role of women in society. And no passage is more brutally assaulted by the world than the two verses that lay before us this morning. God's conception of marriage and family are assailed as archaic and old-fashioned and antiquated. Yet here's the deal. When God's precepts are followed, harmony and fulfillment are experienced by both the husband and the wife when you just do what God said to do. You might mistakenly think that, well, the world's agenda concerning woman, that's just a modern phenomenon. It's gained steam in the last 50, 60 years, but it's ancient. The core ideas, including reversal of sexual roles, are found in virtually all ancient pagan religions, including the mother god legends of Babylonian and Persian mythology. And when Paul wrote this verse that we're about to read here in Timothy, when he wrote this, I want you to understand the backdrop. The circumstances of Titus 2 were a period in the Roman Empire where the institution of marriage was in very dramatic retreat. In a remarkable parallel to today, women were throwing off all the traditional restraints that had bound them. The home had become only one option among many. And so Paul's words in this letter to a young pastor named Titus have to be understood in that cultural backdrop. There was a real fight for the home going on. Look at Titus chapter number 2, and let's begin reading in verse 3. It says that the aged women, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Notice verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Why did these younger women need this encouragement in regards to the husband and the children and their home? Well, for one thing, the culture was lessening the importance of these things that he just mentioned. For another thing, the younger women were being tempted with new opportunities and options that would make loving a husband or raising children extremely difficult. These young women needed the insight of wise, mature women to help them sort out real priorities in their life and to separate real priorities from vain pursuits that would turn sour later. The world's assault on gender differences and on the definitions of family has unfortunately invaded and influenced many churches and many Christian denominations. But this morning, we're going to go back to God's Word, and we're going to see how God's plan is very different from the principles and precepts of the world system that we know Satan's in control of. God has a wonderful and has a magnificent design for women. Its plan will fulfill their created purpose. It will maintain their uniqueness. It will make them a blessing to the world and not only bring fulfillment in their own lives, but most importantly, will bring glory to God. God's design is stated in a very straightforward and concise manner. And the reason why I've called this the model mother is not that model in the sense you're perfect. It's model meaning that you're exemplary, that other young ladies can look at you as a mother and say, okay, wow, that's how to be a mother. That's how it's done. You're a model. He uses the word pattern in this chapter to be a pattern of good works. The idea of pattern is a model for imitation. That is, if you have a daughter, she can look at you and say, okay, that's what motherhood is. That young ladies maybe at the local church can look at you. Younger mothers than you can look at you and say, wow, there's a model mother. There's a pattern there for imitation. Well, how do you become a model mother? How do you become an exemplary mother? What does the Bible say about that? It's not my opinion. It's what does God say about it? Well, number one is this, church. Number one in your handout is we're going to learn that the model mother possesses godly thinking patterns. Godly thinking patterns. Did you know that God knows your every thought? How many of you have had a thought since you've been in this room? Raise your hand if you've had a thought. All right. Did you know God knows what that thought was? God knows every thought that you have had since you entered the room. He knows every thought you've had since you woke up this morning. The Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. A godly young lady will grasp that truth and will seek to maintain purity of mind. Now, there are three key words here in the text, in the Bible, in regards to your mind, your thinking, ladies, and it's all in regards to ladies. I want you to look with me at verse number 4. It says that they may teach the young women to be, and what's that word? Write that in your handout, the word sober. What does that mean? It means serious. It means that you have a very serious and disciplined mind. If there are unrighteous thoughts that enter your thinking, then you immediately take those thoughts captive, you bring them into submission to Jesus Christ. It's kind of like, you know, the old saying that a bird may land on your head, but you don't have to let him build a nest up there. Amen? And so the idea is that a thought may enter your mind, but if it's not a righteous thought, you're going to take it captive and you're going to root it out. You're not going to let those evil thoughts germinate in your mind. You're not going to let them take root in your mind. You're going to be a godly young lady. You're going to be a godly mom. You're going to be a godly woman, and you're going to be sober. You're going to have a very serious mind for the Lord, a disciplined mind. You're not going to let those evil thoughts build a nest up there. You're going to root them out immediately. Look at the next word, verse 5. He says that the older ladies are to teach the young ladies, verse 5, to be discreet. That means that you make good and right judgments. You make good judgments. You make good decisions. You see, the woman that we're talking about here manifests spiritual discretion and spiritual discernment. And I just want to say, how refreshing is it to see a young lady who does the right thing? A young lady who just does the right thing. She's got godly thinking patterns. She's thinking the right things. And then she does the right thing. She's discreet. She makes good judgments. She makes good and right decisions. How refreshing. But then look at verse 5 and notice the next thing. He says that the older ladies are to teach the younger women to be discreet. And then the next word that has to do with your mind is the word chaste. I want you to write that in, the word chaste. Now, when it says that young ladies are to be chaste, that means innocent, modest, and pure. Innocent, modest, and pure. That is, he's talking about a lady here who's got a healthy sense of shame at saying or doing anything that would be inappropriate. Now, I want you to understand something, that the world, Satan's world system, encourages young ladies to be the exact opposite of everything that God just said young ladies ought to be. So let's just lay that out there, because a lot of you, I know, are thinking that, so we might as well just verbalize it and get it right out there, that what I'm sharing with you that God said, the world says just the opposite. Because remember, who's in charge of the world system out there? Who is it right now? Satan. And he encourages young ladies to do the opposite of what we just said. Instead of being chaste, innocent, pure, modest, you know, Satan wants women to be loose. He wants them to come across as provocative and to be sensual. The world cherishes that. They love that in women. You see, the world, instead of them being discreet, the world wants them to be immoral in their choices and in their decisions. Instead of being sober, that is, serious-minded about the Lord and about the family, oh no, Satan and the world system wants women to be lustful and just to kind of have a party mentality. So the world encourages them to be just the opposite. And ladies, I got to tell you, it's not an easy accomplishment to maintain a pure mind in this day and age today. Because the world is after women. They are offering an endless barrage of filthy TV programming, smutty novels, raunchy talk shows, obscene movies, vile, nasty websites, vulgar music, indecent clothing, filth. And the lady who fills her mind with those impurities will not and cannot fulfill her God-given role. But a lady who meditates on God's word, fills her heart, fills her mind with God's principles, is on her way to becoming the model mother, a godly young lady. I want you to look at the screen and notice Psalm 37, 31. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall slide. The word of God in your heart. I want you to look in your handout at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It's on the back side. It says, notice, these are the kind of things that a woman should be filling her mind with. Okay? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, what does he say? Think on these things. So the first principle is this: a model mother, a godly young lady, possesses godly thinking patterns. It begins in the mind. But now, let's progress and let's go to the next point. Notice number two, we're going to see in the Bible that a model mother displays holy behavior, godly thinking patterns, which leads to holy behavior. When our thoughts and our philosophy of life are being fashioned by God's word, then our behavior coincides with that. In other words, if the word of God is going in your mind, the word of God will come out. Word of God in, word of God out. Smut in, smut out. Exactly. You fill your mind with garbage, you fill your mind with smut, You go to Hollywood to find out what a lady ought to be like, well, then you know what? Your behavior is going to match that. Your attitudes are going to be reflected by your behavior. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That you, when you have opportunity, you're going to live out what you're filling your mind with. Now, the question is, though, this: what kind of behavior characterizes a model mother? When you think of a model mom biblically, what does God cherish? What does God think of when he thinks of the model mother? Well, let's look at it, all right? Let's look at verse number four. And notice he says that they, the older aged women, more mature in the Lord, they teach the young women to be sober. We talked about that. And then what's the first thing he names? Say it with me. To what? Love their husbands. Say that again. To love their husbands. In your handout, it says, first and foremost, she will love her husband. Now, some of you are thinking, duh, isn't that kind of obvious? I mean, that a woman would love her husband? I mean, isn't that obvious? Nobody's amening. It obviously was not obvious in first century Crete where Titus was, nor was it in many other parts of the Roman Empire. Remember, many women in those times were looking outside the home for other pursuits. And they would take other jobs, and it took time and energy away from them giving that to their husband. But he says, first and foremost, a woman's best, the best part of her day, the best part of her energy goes to loving her husband. Not the leftovers. No, that's her first priority, is loving her husband. Now remember, the woman was conceived out of the need of the man when Adam and Eve were created. The man was utterly incomplete without the woman. And in your handout it says, according to Genesis 2:18, a wife's core role is to help her husband. That's her core role, helping her husband. Loving him is essential to that role. I want you to look at the verse on the screen, Genesis 2:18. It says, and the Lord God said, this is God talking, not me, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an help meet that is fitting for him. You say, well, you mean she's to be his helper? Absolutely. You say that's demeaning. Not at all. That's a term of strength and power. In fact, that's the same term used to describe God towards us. He's called our helper over and over. It's a term of strength and power. Now, I got to tell you, for a woman to love her husband, sometimes that can be a challenge given the sinfulness of the world. And many times men don't make it any easier. We're not real lovable sometimes. Be a good place for the ladies to say amen right there, wouldn't it? But, you know, there's a lot of different circumstances that Satan can use to squelch a woman's love for her husband. A lot of different circumstances Satan can use to squelch a woman's love for her husband. But we've got to understand something. That when God says a woman's to love her husband, there are not conditions and exceptions to that. This should be a woman's first and foremost course of study, how to make her husband truly feel loved. When a wife loves her husband, many, 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 many things in the marriage will fit into place more easily. She loves the older women, teach those younger women to love their, not somebody else's husband, their husband. Number two, the second thing is this, she will love her children. I want you to look at verse number 4 again. Go to verse 4. It says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and then say the last phrase with me, church, to love their children. Again, you say, well, that's kind of obvious, isn't it? That's a core responsibility. Yeah. You say, well, that should be obvious, and it should be. But unfortunately, in our culture, and it was the same way in Titus's day, unfortunately, more and more women act as if their children are an imposition rather than a divine and precious gift. In your handout, it says children are to be a top priority in her life, right under loving her husband. Not above her husband, but it's right there at the top, under loving her husband. Loving her husband's number one. Because, by the way, when the kids are gone, he's still there. All right? So she needs to love him first and foremost. Make him feel loved. Right under that, though, is loving her children. In today's world, there's an anti-birth, anti-children mentality that permeates society. But Christian mothers should love their children. Now, what does that mean? It means that she gives them full attention. It means that she loves them. She values them above material possessions. She values them above personal career. She's teaching them God's holy word. She's pouring God's word into their lives. You remember we've been studying Timothy? Timothy was a godly young man. It didn't happen by accident. We know that the Bible says he was taught the scriptures from a child. Well, who taught him? Was it Awana? Was it junior church? Was it the Sunday school teacher, the youth director? No, he got it from mama and grandmama. He was taught the Bible. One lady author wrote, "There's no greater need for the coming years than a revival of interest in the responsibilities of motherhood." So many women are abdicating their God-given responsibility to somebody else. And what I mean by that is that they're allowing someone other than mom to care for their children most of the time. And that's simply not healthy. You see, caring for your children, as the Bible teaches, that's not equated with making lots of money and giving them things. Caring for your kids is not making lots of money and giving them stuff. Would y'all agree most kids have too much anyway? It's not have anything to do with that. You see, caring for your children means spending an ample amount of time with them. It means being there for them day in, day out. Being that primary caregiver, knowing where they are, what they're doing, and who their friends are. Being the number one caregiver in their lives. So many kids are left to themselves. They come home from school and they're alone. Summertime comes, they're alone. A child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. I know as a child growing up, I know it's hard for you to believe, but I was mischievous. I could find trouble. My mother, thank God, my mother, when I came home from school, was there. So there wasn't any opportunity to get in too much mischief with mom in the house. When I was home in the summer, she was there. She was there. You can't leave a child to themselves, especially in this day and age, with the technology that's out there, and think there's not going to be trouble. Now, mom, you may think that you can be replaced by somebody else, but you cannot. You cannot be easily replaced by somebody else. I heard a story about a lady named Mary Thomas. She was a mother of 9 children. 7 of them were boys. She lived in Chicago's rough West Side neighborhood, one of the roughest areas of Chicago. Her 7 sons were constantly stretching the boundaries of their tired mother's authority and patience. One day, Mary opened the door. Mary Thomas opened the door, and there were 25 young men, members of the notorious Vice Lords gang, one of the meanest gangs in Chicago. She opened, and there were 25 of them staring at her. They announced to her that they were there to recruit her 7 sons for their gang. Mary Thomas said, "Oh, okay, hold on just a second," and she closed the door. When the door opened again, the first thing the Vice Lords gang saw was the barrel of a loaded shotgun. She said, "There's only one gang around here, and that's the Thomas gang. Now beat it." And they left, and the article goes on to say she ushered each one of her gang members, all 9 of her gang members, to their high school graduation and made sure that they made it through high school and graduated. You may know her youngest son, pro basketball player and Hall of Famer Isaiah Thomas. What if she hadn't been there? What if she hadn't been there? You just never know what's going to happen in a kid's life on any given day, do you? Husbands, listen. Listen, guys, let me talk to you. You're like, "Wait a minute, this is Mother's Day. What are you doing? You're supposed to be on, stay with them, right, guys?" Let me talk to the husbands for a minute. Guys, you have to sit down as the leader of your home with your wife. And y'all better carefully sit down, make decisions concerning your family, your children, and what your priorities are. Because how many of you can attest to the fact, in a blink of an eye, they're grown. And you don't want to be filled with regrets. Children grow up only once. They only grow up once. And as you sit down and you set priorities for your children, and you love your children, it may mean you give up some stuff. It may mean you downsize. It may mean you give up something you want. Why? Because you love your children. But there's one more thing. Not only does a model mother love her husband and love her children and makes that her primary course of study, but there's a third thing, and it's found here in Titus 2. Look at verse number 5. It says, to be discreet, chaste. And then the next phrase says, keep hers at home. I want you to write this in. Number 3, she will be a diligent homemaker. Another core responsibility for a wife and a mother is the management and the care of the home. I want you to look in your handout with me at a verse. Look at Proverbs 31:27. It's in your handout. It says, the virtuous woman, it says, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. She looks well to it. Look at the screen and notice 1 Timothy 5:17. He said, I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Again, the husband, we know, has been given that responsibility of leadership, but she guides the house. She's there to manage and oversee it on a day-to-day basis. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now the world writhes. The world system of Satan writhes with intense displeasure when you teach this biblical principle. I mean, the idea of a woman being a homemaker must entail some sort of bondage from which all women need to be liberated. And the world acts like being a homemaker, they act like that's an insult to a woman's intelligence. Let me just share with you something. And I mean this with all my heart. The smartest woman I know is right there on the front pew. I've been married to her almost 28 years, and I mean that. She's the smartest woman I know. Amen, honey. You are. I mean, she could have been anything she wanted to do. Doctor, attorney, there's no limit. She could do anything she wanted to do. She's that smart. She is smart as a whip. She is smart and intelligent and bright. And I mean, you know she's bright. You know she's smart. She married me, you know. Just kidding. But here's my point. She simply has chosen to use her intelligence to enhance our home, to enhance my life, to enhance my ministry, and to enhance my children's lives. That's how she chooses to use her intelligence for impact. She could easily use it to make money, no doubt about it. She could easily use that intelligence to exalt herself and to promote herself. That's just not her desire, never has been. She told me that from the earliest days, she said, my desire has always been to make a home for my husband and my children. That's my desire. I want to make a home for my husband and for my children. I don't think if you talk to her and ask her how she feels about it, that she will tell you that she is in bondage or missed anything. The true female victims today are not women who are willingly bound by love to the Lord, love to their husbands, love to their children. Those aren't the victims. The true victims are those women who have been deceived by unbiblical worldly ideas about being liberated from God, from the Bible, and from the home. You know, the word home is a precious word. Would you all agree with me? Home is a precious word. Amen? Home. You know the saying, there's no place like home. There's no place like home. Home is a great word, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing when a house becomes a home. Listen, you can have a $1 million house and it not be a home. And so what a wonderful thing when a woman takes four walls and a roof and makes it a home. A home maker. What a precious phrase when you really stop and think about that. Making a house, just four walls, a roof, making that house a home. And the home is where she believes that she can best express her love for her husband and teach and guide and set a godly example for her children. Be protected from immoral relationships with other men. Have that opportunity to show hospitality, to devote herself to other good works. The home is where she can find that authentic, satisfying fulfillment as a Christian and as a woman. In your handout, down at the bottom, if you'll look down at the bottom of the card down there, I've got written out for you there what we call, the Bible calls the virtuous woman. Can you look at that with me at the bottom? It's down on the care card there. Look what it says. It says there in Proverbs 31, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hand to the needy. She's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates, and when he sitteth among the elders of the land, she maketh fine linen, selleth it, delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed." You know, I think about that last year for Mother's Day. You remember what the boys did? My three sons, that'd make a good name for a TV show. My three sons went over to the office building, sat at a table, set up a video camera, and recorded. Man, I think it was 30 minutes. They went A to Z using words to describe their mother and videoed it all and gave it to her for Mother's Day. I thought, wow. I thought about that verse right there. They came up, I mean, even Z and X. I mean, they came up with everything, you know. And they started Z and went all the way back to A using words to describe their mother. And it says there, "Her children arise up and call her blessed." Look at that. "Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Isn't that a beautiful description of the virtuous woman? Proverbs chapter number 31. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now, with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed.